AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. The State Department's now thanking North Korea and China for the safe return of an American soldier. But spokesman Matthew Miller tells us this doesn't mean the U.S. is set to repair relations.
I would not want to speculate on any motivations on the North Korean side, and I don't know that I would take from this that it heralds some breakthrough in diplomatic relations. Obviously, we're pleased to have secured his return.
The soldier is now expected to face charges and a possible dishonorable discharge. New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez pleaded not guilty during his arraignment today on federal bribery charges. CBS's Nicole Killian.
He will be released on his own recognizance. His bond is set at $100,000. He will have to surrender his personal passport, although the senator can still travel for official business, but he does have to get permission in order to do that.
Republican presidential hopefuls hit the stage for their second primary debate tonight without their biggest rival and GOP frontrunner, former President Trump. Here's CBS's Major Garrett.
But until someone on that stage starts taking a very dramatic posture that I am better and former President Trump is worse for this party as not only a leader but a potential president, this campaign will remain where it has been.
Trump's skipping that debate to meet with auto workers in Detroit today, where strikes could expand on Friday. WWJ's Jeff Gilbert is there.
The decision will be made based on progress at the bargaining table, a source close to the talks saying just because Ford was spared last week doesn't mean the same thing will happen this time. The union says it will continue escalating the strike until it has deals with all three Detroit-based car makers.
In Washington, federal agencies are gearing up for a shutdown with just 3 days to go for Congress to come up with a spending agreement. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack says millions will be cut off from food programs.
They won't be able to obtain the benefit. They won't be able to have access to infant formula. The fruits and vegetables that this particular program provides to nearly 7 million pregnant women, postpartum women, babies, and children under the age of 6 years.
Crack open a cold one. CBS's Jim Krasula's got the top five party schools in the country.
And the winner is Indiana University of Pennsylvania, at least according to a new survey of more than 60,000 students and recent graduates by the Wall Street Journal. Texas Christian University, Birmingham Southern College, James Madison University, and Tarleton State University in Texas round out the top five schools ranked by party scene.
Party's over at the University of Alaska Anchorage. They had the worst party scene. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack, but not with ZipRecruiter. Its powerful technology actively finds and invites qualified candidates to apply to your job. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you the needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Now at Staples, the prices of HP printers are dropping. Save on HP Smart Tank and enjoy even more savings on ink. Save on the HP Inkjet, perfect for high-quality pics. Save on HP Laser printers, great for tackling high-volume document printing. Now through September 30th, save on Staples' entire selection of HP printers, some as low as $69.99. With HP printer price drops at Staples, now is the time to upgrade to HP, America's most trusted printer brand. See staples.com/HP for details.
Over the Back Fence has moved. Tune in on Saturdays at 11 a.m. for an hour of water cooler talk, items you're looking to buy or sell, upcoming events in central Wisconsin, or just whatever. Join the conversation by calling 715-424-2600, and we'll go over the back fence at its new day and time, Saturdays at 11 a.m. It's the audio community bulletin board that comes to you. We'll see you there.
For WFHR and WIRI, I'm Melissa Kay. Following is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Thursday, September 28th. The joint meeting of the North Central ITBEC Board and the North Central ITBEC Tourism Advisory Committee will meet at 10 a.m. at the Forest County Courthouse in Crandon. The South Central Library System Board of Trustees will meet at 12:15 in Madison. The Wood County Health and Human Services Committee will meet at 5 at the Wood County Annex and Health Center in the dining room. The Wisconsin Rapids School District will hold a special Board of Education meeting with a closed session at 4:30 at the board office on Peach Street. The Portage County Healthcare Center Committee will meet at 5 p.m. at the Portage County Annex in Conference Rooms 1 and 2. In Adams County, the Economic Development Meeting will take place from 7:30 to 8:30 a.m. at 159 East Ann Street in Adams. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Slight chance for isolated rain showers tonight. Otherwise, mainly cloudy skies expected. Lows level off around 54. Easterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Overcast skies tomorrow. Highs around 70. Lows dip down to about 53. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 63.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this September 27th, 2023. I have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. At 3:30, we're going to welcome in Callie Johnson and Odessa from the ODC. Looking forward to talking with them. Plenty going on over at our ODC. Right now, in studio, we have our good friend Lance Plimmel, Wood County Board Chairman. We do send a shout-out to our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Unable to be with us today video-wise, but you can catch the audio at their webpage. Go into YouTube, type into your search bar, Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Like the page, subscribe to it, keep up to date with all the great work they are doing over there. Lance, how you been?
I'm good. Hey, that would have been a great heads up because then I could have worn my jeans in.
I know.
And the
me
other
too,
stuff
man.
I had on.
I tried to look good today. We had our hair and makeup people here.
Yeah,
we had,
I was kind of doing right? The same thing. I skipped the makeup, but I was thinking, I could at least look the part when I walked in the door.
Lance, we always appreciate the time and the candidness. You and I get together and we just kind of talk. We just have a good conversation. And you brought up something in our pregame that I thought was really interesting. A kind of a day in the life of a board chairman. How was your? You had an interesting day yesterday. How did that go?
Yeah, some days are somewhat mundane, and then there's other days when people ask, what do you do? And I get that question quite a bit. What does the county do? What's their goals, objectives, and what's their purview? And just to kind of give you an idea of what can happen. Yeah, and yesterday was a really interesting one. So, right away, some of this occurred late Monday into Tuesday. But so you get a call and said there's been a power surge, takes out all the power at our River Block building. Now, that houses our human services and our health department as well as other businesses. So you got 200 roughly employees in that building with many people who need services coming in. Mm-hmm. So that power surge blows surge protectors off the wall, control units, takes down everything. No elevators, no power. Mm. So you're trying to relocate. Pick a number, 150, 200 employees, finding workspace, and you're trying to tell the general public that they can't come into the building as we do those repairs. You get into yesterday, so this kind of morphs into Tuesday, where you get a call right away in the morning that says, we've had a bomb threat in Nakusa. Mm-hmm. So you've got your sheriff's department and all those emergency responders going. At the same time, you've got a training exercise going on at ERCO, where you have Highway 73 closed, and all of those departments that would normally respond to those kind of incidents there. And then you have the everyday other stuff that occurs throughout the day. So you're going, geez, it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and I haven't even gotten through the phone calls. Who do you notify? Yeah. And you forget about things. We forget even when that emergency situation happens. Let's say the power at River Block. How do you notify the general public that they shouldn't make a trip in? And there's a lot of programs that they provide to those that are really in need. And you hate to have them make that drive in and then have nobody there. Yeah. And if you have the fire department, for instance, evacuate the building, and it's raining out. It's only rained 3 days all summer, but happened to be the last three in a row. Yeah. It's kind of hard to have somebody standing outside the building in the rain with an umbrella saying, hey, you can't come in today. That's one of the days that you just go, you're putting out fires before you get to things like budgets, committee meetings, and dealing with the general public. So, your best laid plans. Usually think 8:30, I'm going to start with some calls to department heads and maybe answer some questions from the community. And all of a sudden, you go, Jesus, 2 in the afternoon, I haven't had breakfast, I haven't had lunch, and I haven't gotten anything done yet.
And you've got this in front of you. I immediately think of something my Nana said all the time growing up. You want to make God laugh, make plans. It's the way life works. with a day like that, and I'm sure it's not the first day you've had
like that.
No,
there's a lot of days like that. Dispatch center goes down. How do you reroute calls? Things
yeah.
like that.
When these things happen, Lance, and once the dust settles, does it give you, your team, an opportunity to learn from these experiences and say, well, if there is something to take from it? Usually there is.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one of the things that I find really amazing is I have the opportunity to go to trainings around the country, some national security agencies, mm-hmm. FBI. Had a presentation a couple weeks ago from one of the
I'm so jealous about that, by the way.
One of the former head of counterintelligence with the CIA.
Man, I would have loved to have been
yeah,
that
was really interesting. In fact, I'm not telling you the name of the book because I'm on the waiting list to check it out right,
right
now.
On, right.
Don't want you to beat me to
sure,
that.
Sure, yeah.
But we do sit down and we kind of do a critique and autopsy of the situation. And, you know, one of the things I've learned in those trainings is it really isn't a training or a scenario until you stress it until it breaks.
And we
hear that all the time. It's great to go through it and go, yeah, everything worked. Well, in real life, that's not the way it happens.
Yeah.
So we try to set up those trainings until it breaks. And it oftentimes it's communication. It's things you didn't think of. But then we sit back down, sometimes in the Emergency Operations Center with those, you know, it can be law enforcement, it can be fire, emergency responders, we go, what did we do wrong? What can we do better? How do we inform the public? And, you know, a really good example is if the 911 lines go down, and that is not an internal issue always. It's, you know, lines feeding in from other places.
Yeah.
A number of years ago, you know, there's redundancy built in, and we had one of the cables or something was cut, probably a fiber optic cable. I'm not exactly sure, but that happened. And then by accident, a farmer cut the other line somewhere up where routes around, you know, in a circular kind of situation.
Yeah.
So you have backup and you're going, now we have nothing. So, you know, how do you get messages out to the public that said, in the event of, you know, we have some cell phone availability or we can route stuff maybe through Portage or Adams County. You got to talk about it because it happens. The one thing I learn when I go to these trainings is no matter how much you train, no matter how much you think you know, something's going to break when it really occurs. And then the key to all of this is communication. How do you get messages out to the public? So we're constantly looking at ways to do that. There's a subscription-based service called Nixel where messages go out to those who subscribe. The county right now has made a commitment to use a system. It's called Everbridge. I believe I've got that right, where it's the Nixel system, but it's not an opt-in. Those messages will go to everybody, and we can somewhat discern as to where they go within the county. In other words, a tornado warning for Marshfield necessarily doesn't need to be a tornado warning for Wisconsin Rapids or vice versa. So that system, the county made a commitment. It's about a $22,000 obligation. We thought $22,000 to get these types of information out in emergency situations is probably a pretty good investment. And it's a one-year trial. If it doesn't work or if we don't see benefit, we won't do it next year. But I just think of the one the other day. You know, you start getting these phone calls. Why is Highway 73 closed by Urkel? Man. Why is every emergency vehicle in the county with flashing lights on over there? Why is everybody at Humke Elementary School?
Yeah.
Or, you know, why are there 200 employees standing outside the River Black building with the fire department? Some of that's nice to get out.
When it came to the topics you just brought up, all of them resolved well? And it sounds like, and from what I know, they were, but just from your perspective?
It is. And, you know, you try to fill everybody in, especially those county board supervisors that might have direct oversight of a department or a committee. But, you know, even I forget to do that. You know, dispatch calls me, and then I'm on the phone with HR or the director of the Human Services Department. And then I'm thinking, geez, did I call the vice chair of the board? And the answer is, in this case, no, I forgot. I did call the chair of the Human Services Committee, let him know, and we had some conversations. But, yeah, you just forget how many people really need to be in the know. And that's where some of these ways to communicate in mass really helps. So, yeah, that's kind of a that was a fun day.
Yeah, it's a crazy day.
There's other days like that where something happens. And you need to know what's going on.
I appreciate the kind of as always the transparency with you, Lance. But most so the being a kind of the empathy that can create, and hopefully encourage more people to be board members, to be on these, whether it is your city board or a local nonprofit or something like that. We need more board members in this industry, in this world, and hopefully it encourages people to do that.
Yeah, you know, James, I just want to add, you know, I'm fully aware we don't always get it right. And I think the one thing that we do really well within our communities here is we realize we don't always get it right, and we're willing to pivot. And that's sometimes the difference between local politics and state or national politics, where, you know, you kind of stick your head in the sand and you have to toe a party line. County government is, obviously it's political, but it's nonpartisan. And you might know where somebody generally stands, but the decisions we make are based on, you know, tend to be, you know, what further betters county government service to the people. And we realize that when we make a mistake, let's change it. Get after it.
I think that more and the older I get, the more I look at politics as negotiating. And a lot of negotiations are if as most people would tell you, a good negotiation, both parties leave and neither is happy and neither is unhappy. That's unfortunately, we're dealing with a world where you and your neighbor may not see eye to eye. And how do you take care of both those residents? They both live in the same zip code. So you're going to have negotiations not always go perfect for either side. Sometimes both parties are happier and not happy. And that's kind of the world we live in.
Yeah, you know, if I had to break it down to the kind of lowest common denominator, it's all about relationships. You know, I tell people, you know, when I walk into an office at the state capitol, it really helps if I know the person on a personal level. You know, I might know their wife's name, their kids' names, what they do in their off time on weekends. They have to know that there's a real interest in them, as well as I'm coming to you for funding for an issue. So you develop those relationships. And I had the opportunity, we had the Wisconsin Counties Association annual conference occurred last week, and I addressed that body a couple of times, and you know, one of the things I talked about was building those relationships. And I had a I'm not going to call the person out, this is not a negative, I just don't want to, I have other people ask the same question, I said to somebody one day, you know, you're younger, you're smarter, you're better educated, you're more tech savvy, and their comment to me was, yeah, but you know who to call. And I said, you're right. I've built a lot of long-term relationships over years where the other side trusts you. They know if you tell them something, you're going to follow through. The interesting part of that was, as I told them, as I said, next year, you're still going to be younger and you're still going to be smarter and you're still going to be better educated and you're still going to be way more tech savvy. And you know what? You're going to know all the phone numbers too. So that's my point is to everybody in the community is, you know, take the opportunity to mentor other people. You know, I look at my job right, you know, now, I know what I'm doing as the county board chairman. I've done it for a lot of years and I've served as the president of the county association. I deal with other counties. I understand the issues. And I look back and I realize those people that gave me that leg up, that opportunity, who educated me, and I don't mean they lectured me, but they educated me. And I've taken the time in the last couple of years to really get on the phone with some of those people who are long out of county government and just said, thanks. You know, what you taught me has gone a long way in the opportunities you provided. So, you know, this is not a swan song in any way whatsoever. But I look at it as, you know, I got way more years behind me in government than I have ahead of me, or unless I lived to like 120, something which isn't going to happen, not with my lifestyle. But anyway, you know, take those opportunities to mentor those people. And that goes exactly back to what you just said. You know, why don't people get involved? Nobody asked them. Nobody mentored them. Nobody told them what they're getting into. So I always tell my peers, you know, that ought to be their goal. There always has been, there always will be a next generation.
Well said. I'm speaking with Lance Pillamo, Wood County Board Chairman right now. And Lance, let's get into the budget talk a little bit. Like we usually like to get to this topic at some point. How is that looking right now? Let's dive into that.
I thought you were going to talk about some fun stuff.
I know. We'll wrap up with some fun stuff.
No, but the budget process, you know, you take a deep breath typically end of November and you go, oh, good, the budget's done. But realistically, it starts again, you know, early January. And it's not something you look at just once a year. I mean, a budget is a fluid, dynamic document. It changes throughout the years as emergent situations occur and as things change. But as we put together a budget for the year, you know, we've been pretty lucky in Wood County. We've been pretty financially conservative. We obviously had a really big obligation as we decided to put together or put up a new jail. And that wasn't because we wanted a jail, it's because we needed a jail. We looked at the long-term cost, which was about a, you know, $20 to $30 million savings when we started this process over maintaining the old jail and continue to fix that. Those numbers have come much closer together as we've seen you know, supply chain issues and inflation. But nonetheless, you know, that's a big obligation.
Yeah.
But that's separate than operational budgets. And mm-hmm. so, you know, we give parameters to our different department heads. We ask them to come in at a certain number. We don't count pens, pencils, and paper clips like we used to. You know, if you had a budget that was $10, sometimes we ask you to come in next year at $10.30.
Jeez.
And if you meet that number, obviously there's a lot of, you know, there's a decimal there and a lot of zeros.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you come in at that number, my goal is not to micromanage you, nor the goal of the rest of our county board supervisors. So our department heads worked extremely hard, came in with some really good numbers this year. I can tell you in Wood County, we're in pretty good shape. Mm-hmm. You're going to see some numbers as tax bills roll out. And I want you to keep in mind, too, there's the county portion. It says Wood County tax bill on it.
Yeah,
but there's also the municipality, the tech schools, the school districts, and the other things that add in to that total bill. But in Wood County, we're in pretty good shape. You know, we're not. We always look at efficiencies. You know, do we need to fill a slot? Don't we need to fill a slot? Can we share positions? But at the end of the day, there's no service that we've cut. There might be some efficiencies we found within departments, but as a citizen, you're going to see the same level or higher level of service than you saw last year at relatively the same cost. So that's been beneficial. The other part of that is we don't use ARPA money, which everybody talks about as, you know, that pot of gold at the end of the rainbow that was there for operational expense. We want something that's going to have a legacy for years gone by. So when they look at something, they go, oh, so that's what they did with the money. You know, we're not burning it up, doing stuff. One of the opportunities there might be there's some federal health care facilities that we might be able to leverage, you know, many, many million. You know, if we can spend a dime and get a dollar, we're going to do that every time. So there's some of those opportunities when they exist that we try to leverage. So all in all, if you're a citizen out there, I think you're going to see about what you saw last year. You're going to see no reduction in services, and you're going to see it done in a financially responsible way.
Lance, we can go from talking budget to the job itself, but how has this grown or changed since you first started to now, as far as budget talk? And do we have more flexibility with our budget today than when you first started? Not talking dollars and cents, that of course is going to grow and change and everything, but as far as like our use of it, our strategy with it going forward, and how we use our budget, has that gotten better? Has that gotten more precise?
Some of this is just mindset, and some of it's, you know, evolution. So when I go back, you know, when I started this process a quarter of a century ago, you know, we used to have budget meetings that lasted an entire week. They lasted most of the day for the better part of those weeks. And the board really micromanaged a lot of this. And I wasn't solely responsible for it. There were other people along at the same time, but back when I became the board chair, I said, we're not going to do that anymore. We've got highly qualified department heads who know what they need. They know what programs they run, and they know how to do it. So let's look at the numbers. Let's give them a number. And when they come in at that number, I don't want to sound like I don't care, but you know, if they're running the programs within the budgets, and we are an administrative arm of state government, and we're providing those programs in a fiscally responsible way, we don't need to micromanage that. Now, things change over time. You know, just inflation. Yeah. I mean, I remember back when, you know, you could buy a highway patrol truck. You know, this sounds ridiculous even when I say it, for $100,000.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're $250,000 to $300,000 to put a truck on the road.
Yeah.
You know, if you do a 4-inch overlay on a mile of highway, it depends. I mean, if you don't have to do much, you're looking at $250,000 a mile. Yeah. If you're looking at doing some more of this, you know, substrate work, some of the the base to that, I mean, you could be looking at $500,000 a mile. So, I mean, you burn up money, you know, pretty quick.
Yeah.
So inflationary pressures change. You know, I was kidding somebody the other day. They made a comment. They'd been around a long time like I had. And I said, yeah, well, I know we don't have the horse and buggies anymore. We don't have to buy the oats and feed them.
Right.
But things change and the process has changed. And my philosophy, and I think probably transcends a little bit the philosophy of the entire board, is we hire great people. And I'm going to miss somebody, so I'm going to have somebody call me after this who works for us and complain. But, you know, if you look at Wood County, we're a little bigger than medium-sized county in the middle of the state. Our county clerk is the president of the County Clerks Association. Our Register of Deeds is the president of the Register of Deeds Association. Mm. Our facilities manager was the president of his association. Mm. Our highway commissioner was president of the Wisconsin County Highways Association. Mm. I mean, I could go on and on and on. And that's due to the respect that we have garnered in Wood County for the way we run programs, the way we're fiscally responsible, and the fact that we're willing to sit down and listen. And to your point, you don't always get your way, but what's the fallback position and what's the both intended and unintended consequence of the decision?
Yeah.
And so the point is we have relied on – we've hired the best department heads. And I had somebody one time say, will you pick a friend or an acquaintance? They didn't know what I was doing, but they generally – you know, generally it becomes nepotism to some extent without the – you know, maybe familiar relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But it isn't. When you sit in the chair that we sit in as supervisors, we hire the best people that we can find for the job because if it doesn't work out, they're on the committee. If it gets past the committee, they're chopping my head off.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, I don't like that.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
you know, we hire the most qualified people to do the best job we can. And if we find there's a problem, you know, we come up with a performance improvement plan. But otherwise, the best tactic is usually is hire the best people and get out of the way.
Yeah, yeah. Don't be Jerry Jones. Just don't be Jerry Jones. That's all you got to do.
I'll remember that because that's a lot shorter than the rant I just went on.
No, I thought I loved every second of that. That was awesome. But it is a little synopsis, if you needed a Cliff Notes version. Lance, with our last 5 minutes, I wanted to talk a little bit about Powers Bluff and the exciting stuff going on over there.
Yeah, that's been a great project. And that's one of those legacy-type projects that we look at with some of the rescue plan money, some of the, you know, I'll call it the windfall that came to local units of government around the country. You know, one of the commitments we made up there years ago, there was a master plan that came out on that back, it was probably 15, 20 years ago, and what we should do. And some of that's starting to come to fruition a little bit as funding's become available. One of the big projects up there is the bike trails. And, you know, we have the packed gravel type trails, and then there's mountain bike trails, and then there's a couple of just downhill runs. And they're not the tubing runs, but they're downhill. And so we have 3 miles of that trail, the compacted trail, is done right now. There's some landscaping that has to be done around it and some seating and stuff like that, but it's usable, it's available out there. Got about another mile and a half of some of the mountain bike trails that are done or very close. When I say that, I mean they might be moving a little bit of stuff around, but it's usable. There's parking out there. It's not, I don't believe we have that paved yet this week, but it is compacted gravel. There's signage. And use it, you know. And one of the thoughts out there is, we're expecting, you know, upwards of it's going to be tens of thousands of visitors a year to use that facility, based on what we've seen at other facilities in the area, and we're centrally located. So it's a state-of-the-art setup. We brought in some of the best people from around the country to set those up, and I'm going to tell people, you know, take advantage of it. One of the things I love about the parks, James, is there's only a couple of things within the county programs that everybody can use regardless of, you know, financial status or need or whatever. And, you know, every single resident of the county or outside the county can use our park system.
Yeah.
There's not a financial need required. There's no economic qualification. Go use them. And Powers Bluff is a gem up there. Mm-hmm. And you're seeing us start to develop some of those additional things where we can use that park on a year-round basis. So get out there and use it.
Yeah, go check it out, everybody, especially this time of year. This time of year, it's maybe my favorite time of year to be out that way, and really anywhere in this state. I encourage you. We were just talking about our morning show, all the great spots here in central Wisconsin to take in the fall season.
Yeah, we were just talking about rain. And I said, it's rained 3 days all summer.
Yeah.
Just having to be in a row.
Just having to be right in a
and
row.
And now I'm complaining about it, but we need that. But yeah, get out there. The fall colors are gorgeous and ample opportunity in Wood County.
Yeah. Lance, we always appreciate the time, and especially when we get a chance to kind of wrap up on our an important topic and becoming more and more important as we go forward with tourism and recreation and that. So it's always a good conversation with you. If people have follow-up questions or want to know more about some of the things we've talked about today, how can they reach you?
Well, first of all, the best way to get any information is go to the Wood County website. It's all right there. All of the county board supervisors, mine included, numbers and contact information is on that website if you have direct questions. But a lot of the information you just want is probably there already.
Mm-hmm. And that website is woodcountywi.gov, woodcountywi.gov. Encourage you to check that out and also look at the upcoming meetings and get involved in your game, get involved in your world, in your politics, everybody.
Yeah. If you don't remember that website, just Google Wood County, Wisconsin. But there's another Wood County in Ohio, so make sure you say Wisconsin.
Yeah, you got to put Wisconsin. I've had that happen.
Or you may be driving somewhere in Ohio.
you might be taking a trip. Might be. Lance, thanks so much for the time.
Thanks, James. Appreciate it.
We'll have more Midday Magazine coming up right here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
For WFHR and WIRI, I'm Melissa Kay. The Central Wisconsin Book Festival kicks off tomorrow, September 28th. Events will happen throughout the weekend at libraries and locations in Wisconsin Rapids, Stevens Point, and Wausau. The featured author, Angeline Bouley, will give a virtual chat at all three libraries Thursday night from 6:30 to 7:30 on her book, Firekeeper's Daughter. Multiple authors will give talks throughout the festival at all three libraries. Visit mcpl.us for the full lineup. The federal government is once again sending free COVID tests by mail. Each household is eligible for 4 free tests. Hospitalizations from COVID are on the rise in Wisconsin, but still remain far below previous peaks. You can order your free test at covidtest.gov. Free tests are also available at the Wood County Health Department and at all Wood County libraries while supplies last. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR.
Slight chance for isolated rain showers tonight. Otherwise, mainly cloudy skies expected. Lows level off around 54. Easterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Overcast skies tomorrow. Highs around 70. Lows dip down to about 53. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy skies.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 63.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for the September 27th, 2023. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. We are joined today by some of our favorite people. We have the ODC in studio with us. First, want to welcome in Callie Johnson. Always good to see you, Callie.
Yeah, good to see you, too.
Thanks for being here. And thank you so much for bringing a friend of ours back to the station. We have Odessa with us. Odessa, good to see you again.
Yes, nice to meet you, too.
Thanks a lot for being here. We do appreciate the time. Callie and I are going to talk Milkweed Market, talk haunted houses. I can't wait for that. That is going to be coming up. But Odessa, if you don't mind, I thought you could kick off the conversation. I wanted to get into this self-determination conference that you were in over in the Dells. How did you enjoy that?
I enjoyed it very, very much. I got to see a lot, even though it was just a short few days. One of the things I felt I did good was with some of the sessions, because there were some sessions where I got to get up and speak about I think it's most based on like just sharing like who I am and knowing like how many years with ODC I had and some of those sessions kind of helped me to find the voice that I really have.
Yeah. You know, I've been doing this job for 22 years, Odessa, and every time I turn this microphone on, I get nervous. I've always been that way. Do you find that you got a little more comfortable after doing this? That you felt a little more confident being up there and talking in front of people?
Yes, definitely.
Good, good. Everybody deserves to feel that. That's good to hear. What were some of the things that you guys discussed in the conference?
I think one of them was about one was about our favorite like our favorite pastime memory that you hold on to. So like one of them was a few years back when I was surprised that I was going on my first trip to New York City. It was a graduation gift from the family that I did not know about. It was kind of like doing some flashbacks.
Yeah.
Like, so it was doing like a reenacting of the day of when I found out I was going to.
Yeah.
So basically they did like doing, if you ever watched family feud or where they have a bunch of letters. So it's kind of like a fill in the blank. So, so on these key cards, like every time you filled in, so the last one was for me. So yeah, that was the biggest, nicest gift that I could get, especially it was a nice one because I got to experience and kind of see them react it.
Yeah, that had to have been pretty cool. That had to have been good. So the conference was beneficial. You found it very beneficial.
Yes.
Good. Really good to hear. That's great. Was there anything else about the conference that we wanted to touch on?
I don't think so. No? I mean, just those opportunities that have kind of been core memories for you or changed your life. And like you kicked off saying, I mean, you were the one that got to go to the conference and talk about it for yourself. And that's what, you know, it's a self-advocacy. Mm-hmm. And the more you practice that, the better you become at it. So
I think that determination is one of those things that we don't get a chance to define very often. And it can be hard to define. And it can be a very individualistic thing. I think for you're an everyday person, they find determination all the time in this or that or whatever, and where the motivation is. With a topic like this and with your clients, I find it more inspirational. And much more along the lines of none of us have any excuses, basically, if I'm being blunt about this. When you work with the people and you hear from the clients like Odessa and that, it's inspiring. And it only just solidifies more and more why we need more of these kind of things, these kind of conferences and that.
Right.
And it's great to have these available.
Yeah, and you touched on it earlier, James. It's like, it's the same for all of us. We all get fearful. But once we push ourselves out of our comfort zone a little bit, you do, which she is forced to do at this conference, to speak and really tell her story. Mm-hmm. The more you do that, the more confidence you build. And like you just said, you inspire others to do the same.
Yeah.
So that's what this conference accomplishes. And we held a brat fry. Which raised some funds to help support individuals who were interested in going to this. Mm-hmm. And of course, with our community support rallying, we're able to send Odessa and a few others again this year, which it happens in a few weeks at the Kalahari again. So
very cool.
I know you're looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm jealous. You have a good time. You're going to enjoy yourself.
Oh, yes. If you haven't, I'm sure if you haven't been to the Dells in a long time, but still, especially when it's your first or second.
It's a good time. A good time. And you deserve it. That's good to hear, Odessa. We'll have to have you back and hear how it went sometime.
Yeah,
definitely.
We should do that.
I'm looking forward to that. Callie, we've got a lot to talk about when it comes to the ODC and Milkweed Market and that. Let's go ahead and dive right in.
Okay, perfect. I'll kick things off with Milkweed Market. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow, there is a Painting with Purpose class from, 12:30 to 2 at Milkweed. It is going to be guest artist Adam Andreessen, and everyone's going to be painting or creating a pumpkin gnome. So again, every month when I come on here, we talk about Paint with Purpose. But just to refresh people's memories or if they're new listeners, it's a free painting or art-related class held at ODC at Milkweed Market. And the goal is to integrate individuals with disabilities and community members together. Mm-hmm. So some of the people who we support at ODC attend the class, but it's meant for the community too. Mm-hmm. So please, you don't have to RSVP. You can just show up at 12:30 at Milkweed, and all the supplies are included. Mm-hmm. And this year, Brooke's done a really great job of engaging guest artists. So it's not always folks at ODC teaching the class, which they're great people too, but it's nice to have a variety of different art projects and different people that we get to interact with at these classes.
And having those other artists and people outside of the ODC family, if you will, is fun creatively and giving a new, you know, maybe lesson or these things. But the part that speaks to me right away is the representation and the showing that, hey, whether I'm a local artist or I represent a business or something, I stand with ODC. With the ODC. I believe in what they're doing. I want to help put into the ODC. Whether it is just with your free time or it is if you're with your dollars or cents or whatever it is, this helps you guys keep doing this great work, which benefits our whole town, which benefits our whole area.
Right.
This has a huge impact on our community.
Correct.
When we help you guys do the work, the vital work that you guys are doing.
Yeah.
So it's a fun class, but it's also, you know, that those other layers to it are never lost on me. And I admire and appreciate so much the people that work with the ODC, especially if you don't have to, if you choose to. And I really admire that.
I think that it's not an easy ask, but a lot of times people, you bring it up and people are like, I want to come there and teach a class. Like, I want to be involved in that in some way, shape, or form. So it's been really neat. But you're right, it is all about that representation and then creating those partnerships within the community. But
like you were saying, connecting people. That's so important. The more and more we can do that in society, the better we are and the better we benefit. And the more I think people see that we have more in common than not.
Correct.
And we're connected more than we realize.
Yep. And that's our whole tagline at ODC, connecting people and communities. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it ties into everything. So please join us for these Paint with Purpose classes. They're usually once per month on Thursdays at ODC, and you can find them on Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Callie, I do have to. I'm sorry to cut you off.
I didn't mean to
do that, but I did have a quick question because I know it's come up before in the past. I just forgot it up until now. Like me, for example, I can't draw a stick figure, you guys. Like, I can't even do that. But you welcome people like me. You welcome people that don't think that they have an artistic bone in their body.
Right. Yes. It's for all ages, all people of all abilities. We don't shame anybody for their poor art abilities, or lack thereof.
Yes, yes.
But the supplies are included. It's meant to have a good time.
Yeah.
It's not meant to be the next Picasso or something like that. So just join us. It's just another touch point and way we want to bring community in to interact and see what ODC and what Milkweed's all about. Next is Purple Basil Food Truck will be at ODC on Thursday, October 5th over the lunch hour. So don't miss that.
Great
if you've had their food. It's unbelievable.
Food.
The right after that, October 6th and 7th, is the Vintage Shop Hop. I think there are quite a few participating local businesses this year. And it's a great way to just set aside that time to shop local, be mindful of local. They give you a map and it makes it really easy to be like, oh, these are the participating places. We should definitely just stop and see what they have to offer. And again, the dollars that you spend local stay right here and help support our community.
Yeah. Goes a long way, events like this, to be able to help you guys not only do your work, but helping other businesses even and supporting local. It's really the definition of that.
Because some of the regulars that always come to Milkweed were able to say, hey, have you ever checked out this and this place? And it's just, you know, it sends people, and who doesn't like to set aside time to do a little road trip of shopping with their friends or family.
Especially this time of year as we're getting closer and closer to the holiday season. Get that stuff. I know for me, I collect Christmas gifts all year long. Like, all year long, I'm trying to get them all set.
If you see something, get it, right? Set it aside, because you always think, oh, I'll come back to that, and then life gets busy, so.
I love my mother, but she is so picky sometimes. So if I see something, I'm not waiting. I'm grabbing that thing. And a lot of the items I see are at Milkweed Market. Yeah. And so encourage people to go check that out. You're going to find not only wonderful items and very original items over there, but you're going to feel good because you know that what you purchase is staying at the ODC and keeping in our community.
Correct. Yeah.
What else do we have at Milkweed?
Just a few other things. We won't go into detail because we'll be able to tell more details about them, but just for people to kind of save the dates, November 2nd through the 4th will be our holiday open house. Mm-hmm. I know that seems early, but it's always the first week of November that the store is really decked out in Christmas and holiday, and you can get gifts or you can get items to decorate for the holidays. You'll find it all. Friday, November 4th will be Black Friday, so usually some good deals going on Black Friday. And then I think most people are familiar with, but the day after Black Friday is Small Business Saturday, which the store will, of course, be open for because, again, great way to shop local, support local. I'm sure the chamber, the local Chamber of Commerce, will be doing their passport for Small Business Saturday, which you can win some prizes just by shopping local.
We just had Lacey in on Tuesday, and we were talking about that.
Oh, good.
Okay. Very excited for the community for that event coming up this year. We always look forward to that, the passport thing and stuff. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and that's not just engaging, you know, retail stores. That's bars, restaurants. That's small businesses. There's a lot of things that you can support, or at least stop by and learn what they're all about. So if you're not a customer, you can tell somebody, hey, that exists in our community. Like, have you ever tried shopping here?
Right.
So
We have this happen all the time where I'll have a listener say something. Hey, I'm glad you had that person on. I didn't know that was here. You know, it's not that big of a town, but there's still plenty of places to hide, apparently, because there's lots of stuff that goes on that people don't know about. It's a big reason why I'm so adamant about people. Oh, I don't know if we need to talk about that. Everybody knows about that. They may not.
Right.
Whoever guests I have on, I'm always very adamant about, make sure we at least touch on this, because you just never know.
Right. You never know. And we can be, like, so absorbed with our own things going on in our own little life that we don't realize what's around us sometimes, you know? And so it just is, the events like these for the store really give exposure to all of the neat things we do actually offer in this community that can forget about. So
we're speaking with Callie Johnson in Odessa from the ODC, and Callie and I are talking a little bit about some of the events coming up in Milkweed Market. And we have another event we're going to touch on right now.
Yeah, should we get right to it?
I was hoping to get to it. Okay. I was dying to, actually.
So
I love haunted houses. Journalistically, I have no integrity with this. I love the ODC. I love haunted houses. We're going to have some fun with this.
We are going to have some fun. So on Friday, October 20th and Saturday, October 21st, both nights from 6 to 9:30, we are turning our ODC Wisconsin Rapids location into a haunted house.
Such a good idea.
So we have somebody who loves Halloween, who has all of the animatronics and characters and decorations and obsessed with Halloween. Did it last year in our Marshfield location.
Okay.
Weren't sure really what to expect. We posted it. We advertised it. We made sure people know it's free, because that's a huge, we want this to be for anybody and everybody to be able to come. And we had over 600 people show up last year at the Marshfield ODC. This year, we already have, I think, over 1,000 interested on our Facebook event.
That's incredible.
And we want this, again, to be all-inclusive. It's at ODC, so it's wheelchair, easy accessibility. We're calling it like spooktacular or suspenseful. We're getting a lot of questions about, you know, like, how scary is this?
Yeah,
and our intention is for it to be fun and suspenseful and like with elements of surprise.
Yeah.
Or it's not, we don't want it to be super scary, but we do want everybody to use their own judgment about what they find scary. I mean, it is a haunted house.
Yeah. So, and everybody's different when it comes to that stuff.
Yeah.
But I would say, think Disney haunted house, you know, not necessarily, you know, your darker haunted house, but a little bit more lighter of a haunted house.
Yeah.
Although still, like you said, you know, everybody's different, especially different ages, going to be different things. We want all families to be able to come to this. Little kids might be a little different than older kids and, you know, understanding that.
Yep. So, those dates, it's free, donations will be accepted, but we really want people to just show up and have a good time. We have Trippy Treats food truck.
Nice.
We'll be on site selling deep fried everything, carnival food.
You had me at deep fried. Yes.
Oreos, I believe, walking tacos, Halloween treats. Food.
Thank you, Odessa. Thank you.
Yeah. So,
I can't have a haunted house without the local Halloween treats.
That's true. You are absolutely right.
Yeah, we got to feed people because we are expecting a line, you know. So people will grab treats and we'll have crowd control. We'll have fun monsters and characters jumping out at you throughout the little tour.
Or friendly ghosts.
Yeah.
Nice. You never know. Don't give too much away, but that's perfect. Yeah.
Yeah, but he's friendly.
He is friendly. Callie, one of the things that you touched on in this that I think is so important to this haunted house and makes it a little different maybe than some haunted houses is the ability for it being wheelchair accessible. It being for anybody of our listeners, any of our good people out there with disabilities to be able to take this in. Not every haunted house is like that.
Right.
Unfortunately, a lot of them don't always take these kind of things into consideration.
Right. So they can't because the facility that they're hosted in is outside and it's bumpy or muddy or who knows what the conditions are. So that was a huge goal of this event.
That's
to
cool.
make it friendly for everybody. People of all abilities can come and have a good time. And that was a huge touch point with last year's at the Marshfield ODC. A comment by one of the visitors was they had always wanted to go to a haunted house and had never been able to experience one because they were in a wheelchair. So this, it just made their, one of their goals came true.
Well, I was talking to somebody in town a couple of years ago about this, and we were talking about the importance of the ODC and what the ODC does and how, for them, they had just found out, and this is, again, 4 or 5 years ago, they had at that time just found out about the ODC and the resource that it is for work here in town. And it's a little, it reminds me of how Ben and Jerry's, they change their ice cream and they start saying, you know what, we're going to have some vegan ice cream. We're going to have some non-dairy ice cream. We're going to do this. There's a whole market of people we haven't even been tapping into. It's very similar to this. The clients at the ODC are some of the hardest, strongest workers you're ever going to come across. And it's an industry that has not been tapped into nearly enough.
Right.
Tap into that industry. It's the same thing with this haunted house.
Right.
There's lots of haunted houses out there, but there aren't many that where if you have a wheelchair or something like that, that you can go to and you can take in.
Right.
It's an untapped market. It's a very smart idea to be able to offer that to people.
Right.
And doing it for free is just beautiful.
Yeah.
It just is an awesome thing to be able to do. I think that doing that brings in more goodwill and PR than you and I could ever work.
I know. I agree. And it's just part of who we are. We want, we're not for profit, but we want to be able to give back to our community as well. We do see ourselves being able to do that and offer events or just ways to get involved in our community that just truly give back and have that impact that we're looking for.
That's why we always like to remind businesses out there, if you are looking for sponsorship opportunities, reach out to the ODC. It's one of the greatest things that you can attach your name to and being a part of these events. Speaking of that, with this haunted house, are we still looking for any sponsors or any help from the community with
it? Well, this is one that we do on our own. We might change that going in the future, but for now, we're not really looking for sponsors. We're just looking for those to show up on Friday, October 20th, Saturday, October 21st. Or if you can't make it, again, I've said this over and over, but share the event on Facebook. Come to ODC, grab some flyers, or they're out and around town. They're going home with all the elementary schoolers. So just make sure you're sharing the news so that everybody knows about it, that it's free and that it's family fun and that it's for everybody.
Yeah. What are the dates again for it, Kelly?
Friday, October 20th and Saturday, October 21st from 6 to 9:30 p.m.
Yeah, that's like the weekend after I come back from my conference.
Perfect.
Exactly.
Just like we planned it, Odessa. Just like we planned it.
My conference and the haunted house, it's like
boom, boom. Two things to look forward to in October. Yeah.
One thing I'd like to add, unless you had anything else, Callie, that we were to cover today.
The only other question we're getting is if people have to come dressed in costume, and the answer is no.
Okay.
You can if you want to, and you don't have to. So again, just come.
Just come as yourself.
Come as yourself. Yeah. Exactly.
Whatever. That's always fun. I did want to mention, of course, as we're touching on Milkweed Market, and I do want to send a shout out to Ink Splash as well and the great work that they do there. But when it comes to these businesses, not only encouraging people to check them out and purchase them, but get yourself an ODC shirt. Get yourself an ODC this or that and some of the gear. When you're walking around with these things, for you, it's a fun, comfortable shirt. For the ODC and for many of us, this is a walking billboard.
Right.
This is an opportunity not only to show that you stand with the ODC and support them and what they do, but maybe even helping somebody realize that there is an ODC. To our point earlier, Callie, you guys have been around a long time doing this and do a great job putting yourselves out there. But not everybody catches everything, and there could be a family out there. Statistically, there probably is a family out there that could really use the services at the ODC. They just maybe don't know about it. Wearing these shirts may not seem like it, but it's a walking advertisement. It's a billboard and gives more and more attention to the ODC and an opportunity for them to do the great work that they do.
Correct.
And they're really comfortable and cool shirts.
Oh, yeah. They're cool.
They are cool shirts.
Wearing one. I'm sporting one today.
I love that shirt, yeah.
But it's a conversation starter, you know, like people might just see the logo and be like, what's that all about? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, great plug there, James, for ODC. Mm. We appreciate the business. We're able to give it back to Ink Splash, but at the same time, it gets the word out. And that's really our goal is for the, especially looking into 2024, is to do more giving back and more community impact type events that we can really show what we're all about.
Callie, if people have follow-up questions, want to know more, how can they get in touch with you?
They can call the main office, 424-2712, and ask for me. Go to odcinc.com or email me, cjohnson@odcinc.com. And please follow ODC, Milkweed Market, and Ink Splash. They all have their own Facebook pages where a lot of this information is posted and news updates to it are. A lot of feel-good stories trips that all of the clients are doing, fun outings we always post. They were just at Felt's Family Dairy doing the corn maze.
Go check
and
that
so
out.
And so it's just great content, feel-good stuff. So please follow along.
Odessa, thank you so much for being with us again. It was really good to talk to you. We'll talk again soon, okay?
Of course, definitely.
Safe travels on your trip.
Oh, and hopefully nice weather.
Yes, yes. Here's fingers crossed, knocking on wood. And
I can't say about it being cooler, but if I can have the Indian summer weather, I'm good.
Yeah, yeah. Callie, always good seeing you. Thanks for the time.
Of course, thanks.
We'll have more Midday Magazine for you tomorrow right here on WFHR, locally grown radio.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM, and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Locally grown radio, your home for news talk and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. Unions representing federal workers are putting more pressure now on Congress to come up with a spending solution soon. But if there is a government shutdown, here's what you can expect.
A shutdown would furlough and stop paychecks for millions of federal workers nationwide. Everett Kelly is president of the American Federation of Government Employees.
60% of the country live from paycheck to paycheck. The members that we represent live the same way.
A government shutdown could affect everything from Social Security, Medicare, and veterans benefits to social service programs like WIC. Essential workers like the military, air traffic controllers, and federal law enforcement would remain on the job. Jim Crisula, CBS News.
But with 3 days to go, President Biden is optimistic. He told reporters nothing in politics is inevitable. The White House confirms the American soldier who sprinted into North Korea 2 months ago is back in U.S. custody and on his way home. Travis King's release was secured with the help of Sweden and China. Seven Republican candidates will be featured in tonight's second GOP presidential primary debate, including former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley, who's seen some gains in polling lately. Here's CBS's Ed O'Keefe.
There are signs that she's got broader appeal perhaps beyond the Republican Party. That may allow some of those that want to do well in Iowa to go after and suggest she's not conservative enough, perhaps on that issue of abortion.
The party's front runner, former President Trump, will not be there tonight. He's rallying voters now in Michigan, including thousands of auto workers on strike in Detroit. Former New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez is out on bond after pleading not guilty to federal bribery charges today. He and his wife are accused of taking cash and gold bars from businessmen in exchange for political influence and intel. Legal analyst Jessica Levinson.
Prosecutors are going to have to show that corrupt intent. They're going to have to show that Senator Menendez was essentially abusing his position, that even if he didn't say the words, "Give me that cash, and I will do this thing," that is what happened.
It's unclear when he'd go to trial. Google marks a big milestone today. It's 25. Tech contributor Ian Schur says that's a big deal.
It isn't that often that a product becomes a verb to Google something. And that's part of why this is a notable moment here.
Check out today's Google Doodle. It shows just how much that logo's evolved. I had a plan, was a big plan. Bruce Springsteen has canceled the rest of his shows for the rest of the year. The boss is fighting peptic ulcer disease and was hoping to recover in a few months, but doctors are urging him to relax. This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed, because Indeed's all-in-one hiring solution helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place.